Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. Continuing the journey of Luke through this year, this is chapter 24, the day after Jesus has been laid in the tomb. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away. But then when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men appeared in dazzling clothes and stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest of the company. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking inside, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, preaching about Easter and the resurrected Christ is something that you would think would be old and tired, because it's the same old story, and we always come up against the reality of, well, is it true? If it is true, then what about? Or we say it is not true, and it's so much imaginary thinking. There is no understanding to say that, or proof that we can say it is true, except at the witness of those whose lives were changed by the experience. So much of what we have in terms of science depends on what we find as physical evidence. We have no records of any scientific experiments going on to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. But isn't it interesting how people who had turned away from him suddenly changed their mind and went, all of them, to their death defending the idea that he was alive? Isn't it also interesting that larger crowds of people who were not part of the inner circle of Jesus or the apostles or the disciples for centuries afterwards experienced a powerful change in their lives because they accepted that simple truth, and they too went to their deaths, not only believing it, but trying to ensure that other people would believe it as well? Who is it said that on the testimony of many we find our truth? The testimony of 2,000 plus years now brings us to a place where the possibility and the meaning of his resurrection not only is something we question, but something that certainly offers us what the world cannot give, and that is hope. On Thursday evening at the end of the Tenebrae service, I ended the service by suggesting that our hope hangs on a cross. The hope of the early church, before it was church, clung to a Jesus that was able to reveal God in powerful ways. But when he died, they lost all hope. But in that moment of his death began the realization that God indeed was there to offer us hope. And it's not a hope wishful thinking about what can happen tomorrow. It's not an empty hope that just does what God wants to do for me. It's not a hope that arises and somehow reflects me and my life choices. It's a hope that pulls us out of ourselves to understand the world in a different way. A world filled with people who are consumed by themselves is not only a selfish world, but a world that can't have any hope. Because no one of us, when we are faced with the trials and tribulations and challenges of our lives, can dig deep enough inside ourselves and draw up some hope that's going to make us get through it. It's impossible. It doesn't exist unless our view of the world suggests that there is indeed a treasure from which we can draw that will allow us to live our lives in such a way that life is truly a celebration, that everyone has dignity from the very birth of themselves, that everyone is called to live in openness and caring about others, and that in that way of life, there is something of value. Isn't it sad when a person lives his or her own life, their whole life, doing everything for themselves, and when they come to the end, and I've been at funerals like this, where they're being buried and nobody can say anything about them except they really like themselves. The hard truth is, we are in a world right now, brothers and sisters, where there isn't a whole lot of resolution. There's a lot of revolution. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of differences. There's a lot of war. There's a lot of killing. There's genocide, all kinds of injustice. There's greed. There's a lack of empathy for other people. All these things are part of our human condition. In our human condition, brothers and sisters, we cannot in any way legislate to the degree that all of that would change. We can't make laws that tell people you've got to care about each other. We can't pass laws that say you not need to respect the dignity of every person on this earth, however crippled, however impaled, however damaged as you may see them, they all have dignity. There's nothing in the world that's going to stop us from making judgments about each other where we rather demonize than understand. It is natural for us to demonize what we don't know, to put off what we don't understand. And that's where the walls are built. The human person cannot in himself or herself rise above his or her own prejudice or judgment or level of experience to say, I can now include this group and that group, this religion and that faith, this difference, that color, that race, all those differences. It's impossible. What this day is all about, brothers and sisters, I think it was captured very nicely in the Waterbury Republican, or Republican American, believe it or not. I don't always agree, I don't never agree with what... with 90% of what I read in there. However, on Good Friday, after I spoke about hope the night before, I don't know if you saw it, the editorial cartoon was one drawn by a very famous person, but it said, basically it was a square, and it said, the world needs hope. And the hope were big, big letters. And the O of the hope was the rock in front of the tomb of Jesus, being blown away by the bright light coming through. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting? That somebody got it. We can't do this by ourselves. We are powerless to fix it. The only way that I can deal, let's talk about me. I like talking about me. The only way that I can deal with the difficulties within myself is by recognizing that there's something greater than me outside, whether it is a counselor or a friend or my wife or my children or my grandchildren to understand that there's something more here that needs to be done. Without going outside myself, I'm trapped. And individually, we make up the world. And every individual in the world has the very same challenge. If we only see the world and its peoples from one level, that it is, this is all there is, then there is no hope. Then we are left to the basest human experience. Because when push comes to shove, all the wonderful things that we can accomplish can deteriorate very, very quickly, and we become a very base society. Consider all the revolutions that have taken place in history that brought down kingdoms and brought them down to what? In the Middle Ages, it brought it down to ignorance. In other places, it brings it down to poverty. If we only have and rest on ourselves, we cannot achieve what we all want. That is why here, we strive week by week by week to remember who we are. As people of the resurrection, we are people who have a vision of the world that doesn't allow us anymore to settle into my own way of thinking, but to recognize that there is something bigger out here. That indeed, if we look at each other and recognize you, each one of you, and every other person in the world, is an extension of the experience of God. Start there, and the world changes. If we are able to look at one another, every one of us, and recognize that every one of us wants the same things, and we can do it without killing each other, without ignoring each other. In fact, it's richer if we include each other. You see that happen whenever there's a tragedy. And then it doesn't matter what race, what faith, what denomination, people gather together and make it happen. Why does it take a tragedy for us to begin to live as we know we should? So on this Easter Sunday morning, I wish you happy Easter. But in that wish, there is a blessing that I pray for all of us, that no one here today will ever forget the moment, this moment, when perhaps the grace of the risen Christ touches us. May that grace touch each one of us every moment of our lives. So not only do we learn to love ourselves as we are, but we learn to respect and embrace the world of which we are a part. Without our participation, it's a failure. Together, we can make anything happen if we choose. Our hope is no longer on the cross. Our hope is right here. God bless us.